Well, good morning. Kids, you are dismissed for children's church. The cord's going everywhere this morning. Okay. Real quick, if you notice in the prayer list, Northbrook Family Concerns, if you see anybody's name on there who shouldn't be on there, or if you see somebody who isn't on there that ought to be on there, please let us know. My name is on there this week because I am going in to have LASIK surgery on my eyes on Thursday. I've been having real difficulty with my eyesight, and I went and checked it out here in. They say it's going to work for me. The only thing is I'm going to need reading glasses, so you'll see me going like this from now on, I guess. But it's going to be strange not having glasses on my face from the time I crawl out of bed till the time I crawl into bed. But I just covered your prayers for that. Again, please let us know if there is anybody who needs to be on our prayer list who is not. We are more than happy to go to multiple pages if necessary. Okay, we want people to be getting prayer who are in need of it. We are looking at part two of my seasonal four-part series on stewardship. When people think of stewardship in the church, first thing they think about is this thing. Wallet. And this stuff that's in the wallet. Hey, I actually got some this week. It's not always the case. But that's what we think that I'm going to get up here and talk about. It's not what I'm talking about. It is a part of stewardship, but it's only a small part of stewardship, what we give in money. As I talked about last week, stewardship is also about being prepared. Are you prepared to serve the Lord when and where He tells you to? How He tells you to, for whatever He brings in front of you. Not being prepared is being poor stewardship. Are you prepared to serve your Lord, to open that door, to let Him in when He comes and knocks and says, I now have a task for you. That's something which He calls us all to do. Time and again. And sometimes we're not ready. And He bypasses us and brings the task to somebody else or the blessing to somebody else. Because we aren't ready. We weren't prepared. Well, this week, I want to look at hypocrisy in stewardship. And quite frankly, we all have a little bit of hypocrisy in our life. Because the definition of hypocrisy is pretense of a virtue or of benevolence or devotion. A pretense is something that's not true. And sometimes I'm not 100% true. How are you doing, Pastor? Oh, fine, thank you. Not always am I fine when I say that. I try not to. I really do. Sometimes we allow a little bit of, it's part of our fallen nature. But the point here is that we want to be trying to remove as much of this as possible. Hypocrisy is one of the reasons why people say, I don't go to church. Why? It's full of hypocrites. Yeah. It's true. But so is every other church. And so is every other group of people you get together. And so is any place where you have a person. We make a pretense sometimes of how we present ourselves to the world. A pretense is presenting something other than the full truth. We pretend to be better than we are. Sometimes in the pretending to be better than we are, we can become better. But there's also the hypocrisy, if you would, where if we pretend to be better than we are, but in fact we are delving deep into the sin. That's the one we don't want. Okay, there's the pretense where, well, you know, if I just say nice things and think nice thoughts, maybe I'll have a better day. You know what? That's a pretense that I do believe is good. And does work. But there's a pretense of where I put up the false front, where I say, I am living a godly Christian life, and behind that pretense, I'm not. That's the bad one. That's the one we want to get rid of. That's what we're going to be looking at a little bit here this morning. Good, let's turn to the Gospel of Mark. We're going to look at a couple different passages today there. Start off with chapter 7 of Mark. And let's just take a look at this story. Y'all, there's so much here I could spend the whole morning just on this section, but we're going to look specifically at the hypocrisy and stewardship aspect here. I was told in preaching class as I was that you should never preach topically like I'm doing now, but sometimes you absolutely have to touch a topic, and when you do, you preach it as best you can, then you repent afterwards. So, this will be our attempt. Mark chapter 1, or chapter 7, verse 1. So the Pharisees and some of the teachers of the law who had come from Jerusalem gathered around Jesus and saw some of his disciples eating food with hands that were unclean, that is, unwashed. The Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they give their hands a ceremonial washing, holding to the tradition of the elders. When they come from the marketplace, they do not eat unless they wash. And they observe many other traditions, such as the washing of cups, pitchers, and kettles. So the Pharisees and teachers of the law asked Jesus, "Why don't your disciples live according to the tradition of the elders instead of eating their food with unclean hands?" And he replied, "Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you hypocrites. As it is written, these people honor me with their lips, but with their hearts they are far away from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are but rules taught by men. You have let go of the commands of God and are holding on to the traditions of men." And he said to them, "You have a fine way of setting aside the commands of God in order to observe your own traditions. For Moses said, 'Honor your father and your mother, and anyone who curses his father or mother may be put to death.' But you say that if a man says to his father or mother, 'Whatever help you might otherwise have received from me is Corban,' that is, a gift devoted to God, then you no longer let him do anything for his father and mother. Thus you nullify the word of God by your tradition that you have handed down, and you do many things like that." Again, Jesus called the crowd to him and said, "Listen to me, everyone, and understand this. Nothing outside a man can make him unclean by going into him. Rather, it is what comes out of the man that makes him unclean." Amen. Okay. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your word. We thank you that we have the opportunity to come to know you better by reading it and applying it to our lives. Lord, we pray that you'd send your Holy Spirit this morning to open our ears and our hearts and our hands to you and your word, that we might hear and understand, apply it to ourselves, and live it out in our lives. Lord, I pray for your anointing to be upon me as I speak this morning, that I might speak your words in truth, and that I might indeed not stretch the scriptures or try to make things fit, but instead, Lord, that your word would come forth as the way you intended it, that your people might be encouraged and blessed, and that your name might be lifted up and glorified. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we see here that Jesus is calling these Pharisees hypocrites. And what was the main issue here? The main issue that he's bringing up is that they're about putting up a pretense of, "We're following God. We're being so godly, when in reality they're not. And the example that he uses is the fact they are concerned about following the traditions of the elders. This isn't a command of God. It's not a bad thing. Washing your hands is not a bad thing. Don't get me wrong. Please practice washing your hands. And also your pots and pans and other traditions of the elders. Those are good things. Yes. But to say, I undoubtedly, because I wash my hands before I eat, but yet, what I've done is I've said, I've coveted my resources, or the resources which are really God's, and I have taken them and said, I don't want to take care of my parents with those resources. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to declare it Corban. And then, I'm not allowed to spend that money on my parents. Now, I can still use it for my own personal benefit while I'm alive to make sure that I have my food and shelter. But because it's been a gift that's been given to God, I don't have to waste my money on my folks, and the temple will take care of them later. Or somebody else will. Maybe my other brothers or sisters will. But I don't have to. I don't have to use my resources to take care of them. That's what they were doing. They're using a loophole. They're using a loophole that was came up by man. It wasn't one that was devised by God. Where God said, if you do this, this is what you shall do. Now, this was the tradition that they came. God said, honor your father and your mother. Well, part of honoring your parents is taking care of them if they have need. Because to allow them to live homeless or without food would not be very honoring. That would be dishonoring them. To allow them to be cold when you had heat would be dishonoring. To not share when you have is not respectful. Yet this is what they were doing. But to say, but I'm such a good, faithful Jew because I wash my hands before I eat. Please. But this is exactly the way many of us operate today. In the church, out of the church, out of the church. I read a book recently, well, actually last year, entitled Do As I Say, Not As I Tell You, in which there are a number of people of different political persuasions and whatnot who go stand forth and say things like, we need to tax the rich and give money to the poor and help them out. But these same people have lots of money either, and you find out that they've taken their money and put it in offshore bank accounts and put it in shell companies so that their money can't be taxed. Like, hold it. You're saying do this, but and we say, and we look at those type of people and we see it and say, you're a hypocrite. Well, if we do the same thing with what God has given us, when we look at what God has given us, remember, not ours, it's ours in stewardship. It's not my property, it's God's property that God has given me to care for. They're not my gifts, they're God's gifts that He has given me to use for His glory. And when I try to just say, look how holy I am because I do this or that, and I try to do the keep it up front, but I do everything I can behind the scenes to keep from my resources going to where God is directing them or telling me, again, those resources, which I'm being a hypocrite. That's poor stewardship. My hypocrisy is damaging my stewardship. Because the issue here is that God gave these men and women resources. And part of the reason why He gave them those resources was so that they could take care of their parents when they got older. But yet they declared a Corban. Do you do that? some of your stuff? You find, have you done that? Maybe it's not necessarily your parents, but those other responsibilities that you have, I try to protect them from what God has told me I need to do with them. When we do that, we are acting in poor stewardship. We claim to be faithful, but we do all we can to avoid the action of faithfulness. Okay? The action of faithfulness doesn't try to find loopholes. Doesn't create new ones. When God says do something, we should and we need to do it. Even if it costs us. Because really, we need to remember it's really not ours. So let's look at the next passage here that I wanted to look at this morning, which is Mark chapter 12. We're going to look at verses 1 through 12. Many of you are familiar with this passage. It's the parable of the tenants. And he began to speak to them in parables. A man planted a vineyard. He put a wall around it, dug a pit for the winepress, and built a watchtower. Then he rented the vineyard to some farmers and went away on a journey. At harvest time, he sent a servant to the tenants to collect from them some of the fruit of the vineyard. But they seized him, beat him, and sent him away empty-handed. Then he sent another servant to them. They struck this man on the head, and they treated him shamefully. He sent still another, and that one they killed. He sent many others. Some of them they beat, others they killed. He had one left to send, a son, whom he loved. He sent him last of all, saying, "They will respect my son." But the tenants said to one another, "This is the heir. Come, let's kill him, and the inheritance will be ours." So they took him and killed him, and threw him out of the vineyard. What then will the owner of the vineyard do? He will come and kill those tenants and give the vineyard to others. Haven't you read the scripture? The stone the builders rejected has become the capstone. The Lord has done this, and is marvelous in our eyes. Then they looked for a way to arrest him, because they knew that he had spoken a parable against them. But they were afraid of the crowd, so they left him and went away. Here we have people who've entered into the hypocrisy, the lie, the pretense of being tenants. They pretended to the virtue of going to be paying tenants. They said, "We're going to do this." Now later they drop all pretense, become outright robbers and thieves and murderers. But when they first came, they came under the pretense of going to be faithful tenants. What is their hypocrisy? They're using the master's property as their own without acknowledging that it's his or giving him that which is rightfully his. Now, we all claim to be Christian, or I'm assuming we all do. And if we claim to be Christian, then we're saying Jesus is our Lord. That means He bought us with a price, His blood. We're His. We're not somebody else's. If we are a Christian, or we claim to be a Christian, but yet we deny our master the use of us and those properties which he's given us stewardship over, we are just like these evil tenants in this vineyard. We're denying our master the rightful use of his property. We're in fact denying that that property is the master's. We're somehow trying to claim it for ourselves. Think that if we kill this person, we'll get to keep it. Well, the fact of the matter is, the master will come and take it away from us and kill us. I like to watch CSI, Crime Scene Investigator, and I don't know if Donna can how Donna stands watching it with me, because I'm always complaining. I said, please don't do it that way. Some of the things that they do, like, being a police chaplain, I've been on enough scenes, and I'm watching little ride-alongs where I see them doing these things, and I'm like, please, what kind of an idiot would do that? They don't, so Donna doesn't like watching TV with me. But there was one episode, CSI, where they had was about this guy who was murdering these rich people. And they didn't have a clue who this guy was. Well, and he murdered them in different parts of the country. But there was all these people had been to this one location in Miami. Turns out that this guy was a limo driver. And what he did is he took on the persona of somebody who's wealthy and used the wealth of the people that he killed and the wealth of the people that he knew and worked for. Like maybe he knew they were out of the country, so he'd use their house. And used these different things and lived high and lived like he was wealthy and, this guy's wealthy. Like, no, he's a limo driver. He's not a multi-millionaire or a billionaire like he was living the jet set life of. His comment was when he was caught, he said, rich people don't go to jail. I said, you're not rich. Sometimes that's the idea that we get. We think, we start taking all that God has given us to you, what's really God's stuff, and we start thinking it's ours. And we think, I'm rich. Wrong. God's the one that is rich. It's all God's. Now, what these two forms of hypocrisy share here? I'm talking about the one where we're assuming that we put up the front that this is ours when it's not. We're pretending to the virtue or the benevolence or the devotion of being something that we're not. We're hiding it. We're saying we're Christian, but then we're taking everything and saying, mine. Or we're saying, oh, yes, Jesus is my Lord and Savior, and all that He has is mine, except for the stuff which I have put in this cubbyhole, because God can't use this stuff. This is the part that's just separate that God can't touch. There's a rule. We called it safe from God box. Like my kids. Maybe I put my kids in that box and said, God, you can do whatever you want with me, but don't touch my kids. I call him Corbin. Well, what do these two have in common? They both deal with our stewardship and that we deny that the lordship of God and that we're using His profit or His property for our selfish gain. Okay? We're saying we're Christian followers of Christ, and then we're trying to lead and do it our way and ignore what He tells us to do and what He has already directed us to do. We were bought by Christ. I can give you scripture after scripture passage that tells us about that. Each one of these parts of these different stories, you'll find them in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. This is an important concept. That what is the Lord's is the Lord's. And we are His stewards, and we are indeed supposed to be giving it up to Him. Jesus told all the people and the disciples that it's not what they put in, but what they put out, which makes them holy. It's not what they take in, but what they put out, what comes out from them. And when we try to hold back, we try to claim that which isn't ours as ours, we are stealing from God. That's bad stewardship. It's called rebellion. Let's pray. Father God, help us to be faithful children of God. Help us not to be in rebellion. Help us, Lord, to excise the hypocrisy from our lives. May we see where we've looked at the things that You have given us and we've tried to hold on to them and exclude You from them and say, no, Lord, You can't touch these. Or even those areas, Lord, where we've said, no, this is mine. Father, we come against that right now, and might we give everything that we have back to You, whom it truly belongs. Might we not become enamored of the stuff of this world, or of place or prominence, but instead, Lord, might our concern be only in doing that which You, our Lord and Master, have directed us, and that which is best for Your kingdom. So, Lord, give us eyes to see where our own hypocrisy has brought us to be self-delusional. Lord, might we see those things within our own lives, and might You sweep them clean and give us the strength not to fall back into those habits again. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. So I'll stand as we close.